RJ and Racine. 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine. And 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez, and we begin at the White House. President Biden's anger over a new report that absolves him of criminality in his handling of classified documents, but finds his memory severely lacking. Correspondent Michael George has our top story.
Biden fired back from the White House last night.
My memory is fine.
The special counsel claimed that during the president's five-hour interview, he, quote, did not remember when he was vice president or when his son, Beau, died.
How in the hell dare he raise that? I don't need anyone to remind me when he passed away.
Former President Trump slammed the decision not to charge Biden as, quote, a two-tiered system of justice and selective prosecution.
Donald Trump is boasting about his numbers, did so at an appearance in Las Vegas.
In the polls, we're leading everybody. We are right now. Is there any way we can call the election for next Tuesday? That's all I want.
Last night, he won caucuses in Nevada and the U.S. Virgin Islands as he awaits word from the Supreme Court on whether his name can stay on the primary ballot for March in Colorado, despite his actions on January 6th. Vladimir Putin urging the U.S. to recognize Moscow's interest and use its sway to convince Ukraine to sit down for talks to end the war.
In this case, you should tell the current Ukrainian leader to stop and come to a negotiating table.
Russia's president through an interpreter in an interview on the Tucker Carlson Network. On the heels of Secretary of State Blinken's latest trip to Israel, the White House has issued a new policy for countries receiving American weapons. It would require them to provide written assurances they'll abide by U.S. standards, like international law and delivering humanitarian aid. Here in the U.S., top football players have received their due. CBS's Wendy Gillette is in Las Vegas.
Lamar Jackson.
The Baltimore Ravens quarterback won his second AP NFL MVP award. The 49ers' Christian McCaffrey won Offensive Player of the Year, and the Browns' Miles Garrett, Defensive Player. The Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year is the Steelers' Cam Hayward, announced by Prince Harry.
Good evening, NFL.
A world-renowned conductor is gone. His management company says Seiji Ozawa has died in Tokyo. He took the Western classical world by storm, leading the Boston Symphony Orchestra for 29 years. He also captured the hearts of young TV fans.
My heart belongs to Napoli.
He conducted Placido Flamingo on Sesame Street's Carnegie Hall. Seiji Ozawa was 88. A spokeswoman says the cause of death was heart failure. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An attorney with energy company Enbridge tried to vacate an order that would shut down part of the Line 5 pipeline that goes through the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewas Reservation. Enbridge's attorney argued before a federal appellate court Thursday. They say that a treaty between the United States and Canada bars any authority from impeding the flow of oil between the countries. A federal judge last year ordered the pipeline to be moved off the reservation within 3 years. The daughter of an inmate who killed himself at the Waupun State Prison is suing state officials. Megan Hoffman says they didn't give him adequate mental health care and medication. Dean Hoffman was found dead in his cell in 2023 on his ninth day in solitary confinement. He's one of at least three inmates who died at Waupun that year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After going 1-4 on their road trip, the Bucks came home and lost again, this time 129-105 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Doc Rivers says he considered just resting all of his starters.
Before the game, being honest, I thought if we could keep it close, we'd play the guys. But if they got, my thing was 18-20, I was pre-planned tonight. You thought before the game, maybe sit all of them.
The Bucks play again tonight against the Charlotte Hornets at Fiserv Forum. NFL Super Bowl 58 coming up Sunday night. The 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Wisconsin native and former Badgers linebacker Leo Gio Chanel on Playing for Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, you know, I think we step up to the plate when, you know, when things get tough. And, you know, some games, like, you know, it might take us a series or two to play, hey, like, let's just play who we are. It's just about being physical, being who we are, trusting our identity and trusting our techniques and what Coach Spags has taught us.
That's Chiefs linebacker Leo Chanel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way today. Sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. That I'm kissing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll back home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you.
Public performance of a Beatles song ever. And that was on the Ed Sullivan Show 60 years ago today, February 9th, 1964. No lip syncing there. That was the real McCoy. I very rarely say this. As a matter of fact, I've never said this before. My guest, legendary radio air personality, Bob Barry is with me. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Don. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's 60 years you finally called me.
Hey, by the way, when the Beatles came out, I was 10 years old, so it's been okay. You know,
I was about 10 years older than you, so.
You know, when I was watching that, we watched it at my house. My grandmother and grandfather were there, and my grandmother, old school as she is, she said, oh, look at those animals. They're dirty. Look at those filthy animals. Because their hair was long. And, of course, by today's standards, it wasn't long at all. But look at those animals. They're slobs. And she panicked. And the history was made. And I remember, and it's funny what you remember about these things. After the Beatles stopped, the young girls in the audience wouldn't stop screaming. And it was a live show. And Ed Sullivan said, "You promised."
Because he couldn't get up. Right.
You promised. Because he had a comedian coming on next. And that poor guy, I mean, there were nobody was paying attention to this. It's big break.
Right.
He's on the Ed Sullivan Show, the night of the Beatles, and nobody's paying attention. But I remember Ed saying, "You promised." He must have told
him. That was the most watched television show in history. And, you know, 50,000 people applied for the 728 tickets for the Ed Sullivan Theater that night. It was incredible. And they never, by the way, by screaming, they never stopped screaming. Through the all the appearances that they made, including the one at the Milwaukee Arena, the 11,838, mostly girls, screamed all the way through. You couldn't even hear what the Beatles were singing. And I was right next to the stage.
Now, I saw the Beatles, too, at Shea Stadium in 1965, and you couldn't hear anything. Because, first of all, they didn't do stadium concerts back then, but they did this one. And the screaming at a stadium was so loud, my mom and dad were with me, and they said, "We can't hear anything." You couldn't hear anything they were playing, and it was sad because it just ruined the experience. But still, you and I saw the Beatles. Not only did you see them, you spoke to them. Let's get right into that. How did you get the interview with the Beatles? Now, you worked at WOKY, which was the top. You worked at OKY at the time, right?
That's right.
And this was the...
Well, we have to really start at the beginning.
Okay.
When I got the call to MC the concert, Frank Fried was from Chicago, and he was fronting all of the concerts in the Midwest. Minneapolis, Chicago, Indianapolis, all of them. So he called me and he said, "Look, we're bringing the Beatles in to Milwaukee on September 4th. This was early in the year. I don't remember exactly. It may have been March. And we'd like you to MC the show." And I had been making like $150, $250 for every appearance I made with Herman's Hermits and all the rest of the groups that were coming through. So I asked him, "How much does it pay?" And he said, "Well, we're not paying any of our MCs." And I said, "Well, I think I'll take a pass." And I hung up the phone and told the music director, said, "What was that all about?" And I told her, and she said, "You call him back and tell him you'll do it." She said, "Look at this." She opened Cashbox and Billboard magazine, and she said, "They're the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, and look at the Ed Sullivan Show." I said, "Yeah, but I said, I think it's just a fad." And then she played their latest record, and she said, "This is going to be huge. You know, play this." And I said, "Well, okay, you know, I will." And the reaction I got was fantastic. So I called the guy back, and I said, "Okay, I'll do it." He said, "Well, geez, we already called WRIT and see if they, you know, had somebody who would do it." And he said, "Okay, tell you what, I'll call him back and tell him that he'll do the warm-up acts and introduce you, and he'll introduce the Beatles."
Wow.
So I ended up doing it.
I like the fact you said it's only a fad. Bob Barry, seer of the future.
Yep.
He could pick the hits.
right.
Okay, so...
Story of my life.
So you got to, but you got to interview them, no?
I did get to interview them the following day. There was a press conference on the 4th that afternoon, and it wasn't a packed house, but you know, there were TV cameras and radio stations, and but I got to interview them a little bit at the press conference. But then the next day, they invited me to their hotel room at the Coach House Inn on 19th and Wisconsin Avenue. And that's where I got to interview them, you know, one-on-one.
So where did they say? I'm writing this down, so for future...
And we took pictures. Pardon?
The Coach House Inn?
Coach House Inn, yeah, which is now a Marquette dorm on 19th and Wisconsin. In fact, when you walk in there, you'll see a photo of what it looked like at that time.
Oh, I wonder who's got the Beatles room.
Yeah, that's funny you asked that, because on the 25th anniversary, we went up there and knocked on the door of the girl that had the room, and we showed her the photo that I had taken there. We had a photographer, a WOKY photographer, and he took a photo of us, and the Pabst Mansion was behind us out the window, so you could tell exactly where we were. We were on the 7th floor. We were not in their room. Their room was a mess. I mean, they had Coke bottles and sandwiches and everything, and pillows that were
busted open and the feathers were all over the place. They had the pillow fights. And so they said, no way can we do the photo here. So we went to a room down the hall, and that's where we took the photo. But this girl was so excited, she couldn't believe that she was in the room where the Beatles.
Now, keep in mind,
before the Beatles were out.
They were teenagers. I think, wasn't George Harrison 19 years old? And I think,
yeah, they were young. But what's amazing is that Paul and Ringo are still going strong. I saw Ringo a few months ago, and they're still, they haven't missed a beat.
Where'd you run into Ringo?
They were at the Milwaukee Center. He and his group.
Is it the All-Star group?
The All-Star group, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what a group. Oh, my gosh.
You know, what's really amazing is Paul McCartney in his 80s is still performing. Sounds great. The songs are great. And he's still performing. I find that amazing. Even Mick Jagger is 80 years old, and he's going on a tour sponsored by AARP. Who would have thunk that? do you find that young people today even know who the Beatles were?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. When I show them the photo, can I have a copy of that? I mean, they still want it, and they ask for an autograph, so it's... That's great.
I mean, Bob,
people come up to me in grocery stores and talk about it. I mean, they just, it's 60 years later, still going strong.
And everybody thinks, they came to the Ed Sullivan Show. The first song they played was I Want to Hold Your Hand. And it wasn't. It was All My Loving was the first song. Now, they did three appearances on
The first song they did was I Saw Her Standing There. They usually opened with Twist and Shout, but John had laryngitis. And so he could not sing that part of the screaming in Twist and Shout. So they did I Saw Her Standing There.
Yeah, and it's funny, that was the flip side of I Want to Hold Your Hand.
That's right.
Very few groups had an A and B side, and there's something young people don't know what I'm talking about. The 45 RPMs had an A side, which was the hit side, the B side, which was the also-ran. But the Beatles didn't have any B-sides. Every single one of their singles, their 45 RPMs, both sides were hit songs.
That's right.
And I don't think we'll ever have a songwriting team again like Lennon and McCartney, where every song they played and wrote was a winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, they had the Butcher album, where they were beginning to get upset because Capitol was releasing everything that they put out immediately, and they had no control over it. And so that's when they came out with this Butcher album, which was really gross. They took it off the market right away because the parents complained. And for those of you that don't know what the Butcher album was, it was a photo of them like in a butcher shop with the white butcher garb on and holding parts of dolls and
cleavers. It vaguely sounds familiar to me.
That came out and went off. They pulled it off. I had one, and there was a guy that just from Minneapolis that just insisted that he have it, and so I did sell it to him.
Wow.
He wanted it so bad. I wish I would have hung on to it, but this guy just wanted it so bad.
We got so many things to talk about. Hang in there. Bob Barry is here, legendary radio air personality from Milwaukee. We'll talk about some of his past as well. And we have more to talk about the Beatles on their 60th anniversary of their first appearance in America on the Ed Sullivan Show 60 years ago today. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here. It's a Civic Media Station, Hometown Radio Refresh, WRJN 719.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
We know that finding the right gift for Valentine's Day can be a challenge for some, and we'd hate for you to forget. So WRJN and Rasmussen Diamonds in Racine area are teaming up to bring someone a prize-filled Valentine's Day celebration this year. Stop by Rasmussen Diamonds by Monday, February 12th, and register to win a fun Valentine's Day prize package that you can use anytime in the coming weeks. Of course, there'll be flowers from Bayside Garden Center, a 1-pound box of chocolate chocolates in a heart-shaped velvet box. Marcus Theaters is providing movie tickets and an endless popcorn bucket you can use at Marcus locations for a year. Dinner provided by Saz's Statehouse in Tulsa, and of course, a gift certificate from Rasmussen Diamonds on Washington Avenue in Racine. Rasmussen Diamonds has been Racine's local jewelry store for over 120 years, so it's only natural that they present this fun Valentine's Day giveaway. All you need to do is stop into Rasmussen Diamonds at 6220 Washington Avenue to enter by Monday, February 12th. Good luck from Rasmussen Diamonds and WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Chalk and the Beatles with Bob Barry, Beetle Bob, this morning at WRJN. Bob worked at WOKY, which was the hottest top 40 station in the area. I guess you had WLS and WCFL in Chicago, but when it came to Milwaukee area, WOKY was it. And you were the, you did mornings at the time, right? Or evenings?
That's right. I wasn't doing mornings then. I didn't start doing mornings until 1970. But in 64, I did the nights, so 7 to 11. So that was a really big time for the kids. You know, they all listened, and I was playing every Beatles song that came out as soon as it came out. In fact, there was a time where I was playing every other song, a Beatles song. Would you believe that? And so, of course, that's how I became Beetle Bob, and that's probably why this guy called me to MC the show, because all the kids were listening.
Now, well, our VP of this company, Chris Morrow, worked at WOKY when you were doing mornings. And yesterday he sent me a note. He said he used to work overnights at the station when he was a young guy. And he used to get your stuff ready in the morning. And he was so nervous when he got to meet Bob Barry when you got off the air of the overnight shift. But I thought I'd say hello from Chris Morrow, who is our VP of this company.
He's a very good talent.
He is very talented, and he's running he's a VP of this company right now, VP of sales, so good for Chris. Now, I worked at WOKY for a short time, too. I think a lot of people did. I worked later years when they were not quite the station they were when you were there, but I got to work there for a short time as well. But a lot of disc jockeys across the country wanted to hop on the Beatle wagon, and some of them were calling themselves the Fifth Beatle, and that was Murray the K in New York City, called himself the Fifth Beatle, although he did no more than you did. I mean, you got to interview the Beatles. You emceed the show. And that's all he did, Murray the K. But he took that moniker. And WABC Radio at the time was calling themselves W.A. Beatle C. They actually had jingles made. W.A. Right. Beatle C. 77.
I explained that in, I don't know if you know, I wrote a book.
Yes.
Rock and Roll Radio Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And there's a chapter in there all about the Beatles with the photos and everything. And it covers the entire time that they were here. But the publisher decided that they would say stories from the Fifth Beatle. And I had to explain to him, in fact, we had a local personality here that when the book came out, he went on the air and said, how does he get the, you know, of all the nerve to call himself the Fifth Beatle? Well, I explained that in the book, that the reason they called the guys that went on stage to introduce him, the Fifth Beatle, because obviously they were on stage, and they were the fifth person with them. But I was actually, if you want to be honest about it, the 13th Beatle, because this was the 13th concert in the United States. So if you're going by who was on stage with him, I wasn't the fifth, I was the 13th.
And the Beatles weren't around that long when you think about it. I guess they were 1963 when they formed, and they were only around until 1970.
I mean, that's right.
They were only around a few years, but look what they did in those few years.
Oh, the music, man. And the artists that have played their songs. You know, you name an artist, and I'm sure that they've got one of their songs on their album.
And they opened the doors for all these groups. They called it the British Invasion. They opened the doors for the Rolling Stones, the Animals, Herman's Hermits, you mentioned earlier. Every group that came from England has to thank the Beatles for that. Because it was, at one time, you couldn't listen to a song on the radio where it wasn't some British artist. I mean, even even the solo vocalists like Dusty Springfield and all the groups that came, it was like one half Cliff Richard, another guy who had a couple of hit songs. They all were owned to the due to the Beatles, and their
Dave Clark Five was they were huge. They caused a riot at the George Devine's ballroom.
The Dave Clark Five, yeah. Now their first concert was it in Washington D.C. Their first one.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and their last one, I think, was at Candlestick Park out in San Francisco. So, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and that was it. We never saw the Beatles again after that. I saw them with the Help concert at Shea Stadium when they were promoting the movie Help. But
followed them to Minneapolis and Chicago.
I'm telling you, they changed the face of rock and roll forever. I mean, if it wasn't for the Beatles... And you got to talk to them. So when you did interview them, who was kind of the spokesperson? Who was the guy who led it? Was it John?
No, it was Paul.
Really? Okay.
Well, as I mentioned before, John had laryngitis, so he wasn't talking at all. He was under doctor's care, and he really didn't have to sing much because you couldn't hear him anyway. Nobody knew whether he was singing or not, so that didn't matter. But Paul was really the spokesperson for the group. Ringo was, you know, screwing around. Like I said, you know, we got all this stuff from the kids they sent you. I got a couple of mail bags, full of mail here, and I've got bears and watches and rings and champagne. And Ringo says, can I have a champagne? And Paul said, send everything to Children's Hospital or an orphanage, and we'll take the mail. So they took the bags of mail, and that's it.
No drugs on the tour either, right?
None that I could,
sniff out.
Like I say, their room was a mess and everything, but I could not tell you that. No.
Sounds like they were, I remember when they showed them at the Warwick Hotel in Manhattan when they were appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show. They were at the Warwick, and they were poking their heads out the hotel windows. That's when you can actually open hotel windows. And the girls were in the streets causing traffic problems, screaming every time they poked their heads out. And that became a hotel. You wanted to stay at the Beatles room at the Warwick Hotel where the Beatles stayed.
That's right.
And, wow, I mean, just to be around in those days. I remember they had TV specials on called Beatlemania when they were touring America. And, wow. So they were never in the WOKY studios. You went out to interview them, right? With what, a tape recorder? Was it live?
No, they didn't see anything of Milwaukee. Nothing. They saw the airport. They saw the streets as they drove through in the limousine with the police escort. And there were a lot of kids along the line, the route. How they found out, I don't know. It may have been the police kids, telling their kids, and then other kids knew about it that way. And they saw the hotel and the arena. That was it.
We're going to go
into. And that was the same thing in every city. Once in a while, they would sneak off. They did not in Milwaukee, but in some of the cities, they would put on disguises, and sneak off for a couple hours.
Bob Barry is here. Bob, hold on through the break here. We're going to go into the break with a song the Beatles actually did. It was from a Broadway musical, a hit Broadway musical. It was from The Music Man. We're talking to Bob Barry here, talking to Beatles on their 60th anniversary of appearing on The Ed Sullivan Show. Here's the song the Beatles had that was on their first album from...
Killer Was You.
Yeah, from The Music Man.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all till there was you. Then there was music.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Boy, February weather in Wisconsin, anything but what we'd predict. Yesterday, an active tornado in the state, and basically no snow on the ground as far north as Hayward. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday, and that's causing some great concern for Wisconsin's maple syrup industry. Steve Anderson of Anderson Maple Syrup in Cumberland can tell you all about it. He's not only president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, he's also tapping trees himself, and he said the lack of snow cover is really influencing their year and its yields.
When the ground is covered, it's white. White reflects the sun, and so then the earth doesn't heat up as quickly, and that helps hold the temperature, the average temperatures down. And it also insulates the ground so that the frost doesn't come out too quickly. We like the frost to come out a little bit slower. It prolongs our season, and then those lower temperatures from having some snow cover keep the highs from not getting too high and keeps the lows getting a little bit lower. Ideally, we're looking for something like 12 to 15 degrees at night, maybe 40 during the daytime. You know, we like that big swing, and that's what the snow cover will help extend a season.
Steve Anderson's the president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. He's up in Cumberland. He said some of the initial reports he's gotten from other maple syrup producers are pretty good. He said some reporting as much as a gallon of sap per tap in a day.
You hear that? That's the sound of Dairyland Seed bringing the yield bigger and better than ever before. We're talking our best corn of all time, our strongest silage lineup ever, and the greatest soybeans in our history. We're talking a full lineup of seed proven to outperform the competition once again in independent head-to-head trials. See the performance data for yourself at showmetheyield.com. That's showmetheyield.com.
With the Compeer Financial Patronage Program, we share earnings with member owners of our cooperative. It's our way of saying, we are here. Here so you can pay down your loan faster, or make a new investment in your operation. And that family vacation you've been putting off? Yep, we're here for that too. Learn more at compeer.com/patronage. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
And the numbers coming in for the upcoming World Championship Cheese Contest that's going to be hosted in Madison March 5th and 6th look very, very good this year. More than 3,300 cheese, butter, yogurt, and dairy ingredient entries coming from around the world. More than 400 dairy manufacturers from 25 countries and 32 American states are going to be involved in the competition. Again, the World Championship Cheese Contest coming back to Madison in March. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way. Today, sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today, southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
As I write this letter, send my love to you. Remember that I'll always be in love with you. Treasure these few words till we're together. Keep all my love forever. P.S. I love you.
Hey, Bob, you know, that was the flip side to Love Me Do. There's another B side that was just as good as the A side.
Yeah, they had a ton of them.
And I kind of like this better than Love Me Do. Now, Love Me Do, I think, was their first hit song. That's what I.
I think you're right on that. Yeah,
everybody thinks it's "I Want to Hold Your Hand." They all, you know what the problem is? They all these songs came out around the same time, and we were talking about. Yeah, you were talking about Capitol Records. But the Beatles actually sent music to other record companies before that, and that's why you find some odd record labels like VJ Records with Please Please Me, and She Loves You was on Swan Records before they had the Beatles.
They had five top 10 charted songs at one time, so which was, you know, now today, now I don't know if Taylor Swift has done that or not. You know, five in the top 10, but there's not many artists that have done it. I know that.
And they were all different record labels. The other record label they recorded on, other than Apple, their record label, was United Artists, because when A Hard Day's Night came out, United Artists owned the rights to the soundtrack of the entire movie, everything, and they released all their songs on the United Artists album. So at that point, they were on Swan, VJ, Capitol, and United Artists, and you don't find that anymore. Usually when artist is on one label, they're on one label for life, and that's it.
That's right.
But you don't find that. So now, in the years that gone by, have you ever talked to, you said you emceed Herman's Hermits, right?
That's correct.
Now, where
a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, they played Milwaukee.
And the Rolling Stones.
Did you do the Stones, too?
Oh, yeah.
Where was that?
That was also at the arena.
Wow.
And the auditorium. They were at the auditorium one time and the arena the second time.
Now let's talk about you for a few minutes here. Where did you get your start from in radio?
I started at WTKM in Hartford, Wisconsin.
Ah, the polka station.
Yep. I was playing polka, Dixieland, and then I finally insisted that I have an hour rock and roll show. And so they finally let me do that in the afternoon. And then after that was an easy listening show. So we had every, you know, we had polkas, we had Dixieland, we had rock and roll, and we had Madhavani. You know, we had easy listening. So, and then from there I went to WEMP in Milwaukee, WRIT, and then WOKY.
You made the circuit in Milwaukee, huh?
Oh, yeah. And then from there I went to I went back to EMP, then I went to ISN, and then ZTR, the only FM station I ever worked for.
Which ZTR is now WRIT, which is funny. They went back to the original call letters, WRIT. And so, yeah, you made the search. Those are the days when you never had to leave town to work on the
radio. That's right. That's right. I had an opportunity to leave in Minneapolis, L.A., Chicago. The job that Bob Collins took at WGN, I was offered that job, and then he took it. I loved it here. You know, I knew it. One guy who kept me on, this new program director came to town in '68, and he said, I'm going to fire everybody. You know, so he fired everybody, but he kept me because I could pronounce Oconomowoc. I mean, you know, literally, this is the reason he kept me, is because I knew the area.
Oconomowoc.
And I came from Milwaukee, so he didn't care whether I emceed the Beatles concert or anything else, but the main thing was he knows the area. You know, he's sort of our director of the Milwaukee English. Oh, there was a program director that said, it's not Milwaukee, it's Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's funny.
That's the way everybody pronounces it. I want you to pronounce it that way. I said, you're kidding. I'm not going to do it.
It's funny when you mention that, because when they hired me to come to Milwaukee to work at 103.7, I was in Atlanta at WSB. And the guy sent me, Bill Moose, who just passed away recently. Bill Moose sent me this list of names to pronounce. And there was Wauwatosa. There was Oconomowoc on there. There was Manitowoc. All these names that would come up. And when I came here, there was a woman on Channel 12. I forget what her name was. And she kept saying Milwaukee, M-U-H, Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, I said, you want me to pronounce it Milwaukee? He goes, oh, you've been watching, and I forget what her name was. He said, you've been watching her, haven't you? I said, yes, I watched all, I was at the hotel watching as much as I can to get these pronouncers the way you want them. I want to sound like the locals. He goes, well, it's Milwaukee, not Milwaukee. So yeah. I think it was Kathy something or other. I'm trying to remember what her name
was. Kathy Michaelby?
No, it wasn't Kathy Michaelby. No, wasn't her. I forget what her name was, but she was on Channel 12, and that was 1980. Did you ever do the Channel 10 auction?
Yes.
That's where I met
many
you.
Times.
That's where I met you. I did it for like 37 years, 36 years. That's where I met you with the Channel 10 auction, which they don't do anymore. But yes, I said, last time I'm talking to my wife, I said, I met Bob Barry before. Where do they meet him? And it was, it must have been the Channel 10 auction. It just occurred to me. Okay. So, today, you still, you know, we talked off the air that radio people, they never retire. They just, you know, do other things. And you are doing podcasts to the tune of over, you have over 200 interviews, right?
Yes.
And where can
there were all kinds of celebrities. I mean, you know, from the music celebrities to actors and actresses. You know, it's like one of them that's coming up is Jack Mercer, who did Popeye.
So, olive oil.
Yeah.
Whoa, I love my spinach.
That's good, Don. That's good. You can take over.
Yeah, right. And so how can we hear the podcasts?
Just go to Bob Berry Podcast or Bob Berry WOKY. You know, if you put Bob Berry WOKY, you'll get all kinds of stuff. But the Bob Berry Podcast, they're on you know, YouTube, Spotify, all the podcast channels.
Now, you're also, now a lot of people don't get this because they don't think about it, but I hear them from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the WBA, actually posts them on Facebook. So that's the way I heard some of them.
Yeah, you can go to WBA, too, and you'll find them there.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you introduced the Rolling Stones on stage, this is something I didn't know until just now. Did you meet them, or it's just a straight interview? You never met them? You just went on and say, here are the Stones, and you walked off?
Oh, no. No, I was backstage with them before they went on, and we had some photos taken, and would you believe all of that stuff was lost. I just have no idea. The only photo I have is with Bill Wyman, but all the rest of them are with the entire group. The photographer has no idea whatever happened to him.
Oh.
And he died a few years ago, so I guess we're never, ever going to find him.
He took him to the grave.
And also we did, Channel 6 did these, I mentioned before, they did, they followed me around when I did all these concerts. Not the Beatles, but the Rolling Stones, Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders. And I would interview them backstage, and they filmed it, and we'd have it on in the afternoon, where I was doing an afternoon show at Channel 6 while I was on WOKY. We taped that. And when they moved, they threw away all of the tapes, and they threw away all the news stuff, everything. They just, instead of calling me and saying, hey, would you like this stuff? We're going to throw it away. They tossed it all. So I have a few, but not the Rolling Stones. The one I really wanted was that one.
You talk about throwing things away. I told you off the air, and I think I've told the story on the air before, that when my parents moved from New York to Florida, they threw everything out. They threw out my high school diploma. They threw out my brother's medical textbooks. They threw everything out, including my Beatle ticket stubs from 1965. They were yellow ticket stubs with blue. They had the blue Beatle logo on them, and they had the picture of the Beatles on the ticket stub, and I saved them. And my mother threw them out, and she said, if they were important to you, you would have taken them with you when you moved. Because I moved when I was like 20-some-odd years old. I got out of the house. She said, you would have taken them with you. I said, you could have called me. I would have my brother run over there and get them. And she kept saying, they obviously weren't that important to you. Thanks, Mom. Also, I had a picture taken with me in the group America. At this time, it was 19 in the 70s when they had all their hit songs coming out of America. They were at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island, and backstage we took a photograph. And it's me in the center, and they're all around me. And we were hanging up at the radio station. And when I left that radio station, I said, if you ever get rid of it, let me know. Well, the station was sold, and I called the general manager, and I said, if you ever get rid of that picture, let me know. I'll come get it. He said, it's yours. A couple of years later, they moved from the building. I said, where was it? Oh, we had to toss it.
Ugh. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my whole childhood.
Yeah, there's a million stories like that.
I know. And you know what? It they're in your head. You know you did it. I know you did it. And that's all that's important at this point. There's one other piece of musical history that Milwaukee has. Didn't the winter concert with Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Richie Valens play Milwaukee? Was it? Didn't they?
Yes.
Play, right before they went to clear up. Right before the surf ballroom. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
And where was that?
That was at the Eagles Club, George Devine's ballroom.
And then they went off to the surf ballroom where my wife and I went there to the surf ballroom, and it's almost like it's frozen in time. They didn't change anything in that place. Then we went out to the actual site where the plane crashed at a farmer's field at 115th and Gull. That's the intersection. You walk a quarter mile into the field, and there's a memorial set up there. But Milwaukee's got a great rock and roll history.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I'm still back on the fact that you talked to the Rolling Stones. I'm still stuck on that. I didn't know that. So let's wrap up on the Beatles talk here. You interviewed them in person. The room had feathers from pillows flying all over the place. It looked like a frat house, right?
Yeah, a great sense of humor, too. You know, I asked Paul, what are you going to do with all the mail? And he said, we soak it overnight in lemonade, fry it for 2 minutes in deep fat, garnish with a cucumber, and serve it piping hot to Ringo for breakfast. I mean, those are the kind of...
What, you know, a great answer.
As George, what are you going to do when you're not popular anymore? He said, I'm going to sit home and count my money.
And you know what's interesting? The year that they came to America, 1964, was also the year they took a chance and put these guys in a major motion picture. That's a 4-star movie. They always run it on TCM, A Hard Day's Night. I mean, yep. What a great movie. And then they came out with Help after that. Then they decided they were very innovative. They came out with Yellow Submarine, the animated film. And then they came out with their final movie, Let It Be, which I actually have a VHS copy. It was released by CBS, Fox Video, and United Artists, and it was a legal copy until Yoko Ono demanded it be pulled off because they didn't have the rights to put the music on video back then. And so, but I have it. My cousin told me about it. I got it on eBay, so I've got that sitting at home. You've got
to come. Well, that's good because you can watch that without all the screaming. You went to the theaters to see these movies. You couldn't hear half of it because the girls were screaming.
Bob Barry, legendary radio personality. You sound great. You sound like you did on the radio back then. I mean,
thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be on with you and to be on the radio again. This is fun.
I'm not kidding. You sound exactly like you did back in the radio. Your voice hasn't changed one iota. Bob Barry.
You're very kind. Thank you.
And I want you to know that I am probably going to call you back sometime because we've got rock and roll radio history to talk about on this radio station. And you're the guy. And you sound so great doing it. You have all the great stories in your head. So you will come back at a time, right?
Have you seen my book?
No, I got to get the book.
I'll get you a copy.
All right.
We'll get off here. I'll get all your information from you, and I will send you a copy. And maybe we can talk about that next time around. It's Rock and Roll Radio Milwaukee from the fifth Beatles.
Not okay,
but they put it on there anyway.
Bob Barry, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, son.
Thank you very much. Hold on the line.
You know, if you break my heart, I'll go. But I'll be back again. 'Cause I told you once before goodbye. Again, I love you so. I'm the one who wants you. Yes, I'm the one who wants you. Oh, 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 you could find better things to do.
listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
After the loss of a loved one, you or someone close to you might benefit from grief support. Hospice Alliance is here to help. As your community hospice, individual, group, and even children's programs are available to help, serving Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. Learn more about Hospice Alliance's services and grief assistance. Visit hospicealliance.org.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Don't you love it when things work out? That CD won't play. We've been playing Beatles, old Beatles CDs for the past 45 minutes. Well, forget that, because we're talking Super Bowl. Mike Clemens is here, and he's out in Las Vegas, the land of Viva. Viva Las Vegas. And that's a great place to hold anything because the city never sleeps. Literally never sleeps. It's up 24 hours a day. And it must be packed there in Vegas right now, right?
Yeah, you know, this is my 18th Super Bowl, and there used to be some of these guys that were sports writers. A guy named Jay Mariotti, I think Sun-Times out of Chicago, who really would write mean and nasty things all the time. I mean, he made Rex Grossman, the Bears quarterback at the time, paranoid of the article this guy's going to come out. And then they would rip Super Bowl cities. Like, we were in Jacksonville that year. This is like 2005, and oh, this town's not ready, and they've got too many bridges, and the people don't know what's going on, and they really mean stuff. And I was on the air with a national show, and I said, you know, why don't they just build a Super Bowl stadium in Las Vegas? Because there's no city better equipped to handle a huge convention, and that's really what the Super Bowl turns into being for a week. All the sponsors that come in, ex-players, et cetera, the media. And Badoot in Vegas, he goes, are you kidding? He goes, that'll never happen. He said, the league doesn't want to have anything to do with gambling, or mob connections. Well, that goes back to 1963 or so, 64, yeah. Like when the Beatles landed. Remember Paul Hornung and Alex Karras, a defensive lineman for the Lions, got suspended for a year for gambling on games. So here we are. The sports betting rules changed a couple of years ago in New Jersey, and now you got this online betting in states across the country, and now, you know, the NFL saw a revenue stream, and they've jumped on it, and so instead they're now having lectures to the players that are in the Super Bowl saying, please do not bet on anything while you're here in Vegas.
Where is the stadium? The last time I was in Vegas was back in the where was it? Oh, I went to a wedding there back in the 2000s, but I had relatives living there, so I went to go visit them. But where's the stadium built?
You know the part of town where is the famous Las Vegas, Welcome to Las Vegas sign, and the big gold Mandalay Bay Resort?
Yeah, that's where it is.
It's right across the street. It's right across from Mandalay Bay and the Luxor, the big triangle, pyramid, the Black Pyramid in town. So, and I'm hearing that if the Oakland A's are coming here, and the owner certainly wants to move them, because Oakland's really got some serious problems with crime, that they're going to tear down the Tropicana and build the ballpark there.
Whoa! Vegas is always changing anyway. They're always tearing down things and rebuilding them. I saw the movie Casino with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. They're always tearing things down in Las Vegas. But
that's right.
It was a desert town at once with nothing. And then, who was the gangster who started the whole thing? He eventually got his eyes shot out. Bugsy Siegel.
Bugsy Siegel.
He had this idea, and they gave him all this money, and he built it, and they said, this is a train wreck what you built here, and they killed him. And little did they know, he was actually right on. Okay, so let's talk about the game, because I have two things here. One, we're a guy who's called the winner for 16 years and failed for 16 years. He's never picked a winner in 16 years. He is picking the Chiefs to win, which means the 49ers are going to win. And then you've got the Madden game, the Madden John Madden video game, which is calling for the Chiefs to win. So, and really, nobody knows until you get until the game's over. Nobody's going to know who's going to win. But do you have any insight of how these teams? Have you been to any of the practice sessions?
One of them.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we have pool reporters, guys like Peter King that are allowed in. But I've got to talk to the players every day. you know, the 49ers are at their peak in terms of all the weapons, as they call them, that they've got. Between Christian McCaffrey, a very strong, you know, hard bull-rushing running back. You know, George Kittle, one of the best tight ends ever to play the position. A young, flashy receiver named Brandon Ayuk, who made some spectacular catches in their last game. Kyle Juszczyk, who's an old-fashioned, fullback, and on and on. And Kyle Shanahan is a really smart coach. He displayed that yesterday in the press conference. But the fact is, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are just a deadly combination. And Patrick's been in 17 playoff games. 17. That's like a whole season. That's how much experience he has, and he's still only 27, 28 years old. And so that makes them very dangerous. So in the end of the day, coaching wins this game, and I still got to give it to Andy Reid and Patrick to be able to figure out a way on how to get past the 49ers.
You know, with this whole Taylor Swift phenomenon going on now, we read a story this morning where dads love it because for the first time, their daughters are sitting with them and watching the football games. And they said, because the little girls love Taylor Swift, and now she's part of the NFL, needless to say. So that's a whole big phenomenon going on right now with her. And it's probably going to bring a lot of people to watch the game just to see what happens.
It has. It is. The ratings are up when the Chiefs play and Taylor Swift is up there. They can track that. And what's so funny is somebody kept count of this because there's some of these people that say, oh, I'm so sick of her. It's like, well, you're the same people that complain about raunchy entertainers. What more do you want for youth in America, for anybody, than Taylor Swift? Her stuff is great. There are so many hits. You can't blame her for being so successful. It's like 2 minutes that they've she's taken up time. There's 30-second cutaways.
Yeah, it's not even 2 minutes. They clocked the game. They took a 3.5-hour game, and she was on screen for 25 seconds out of 3.5 hours. And but the image is she's on every break, and she's not. She just wants to go see the game. She's in love with one of the football players. And it's not her fault the cameras are focusing on her. She's not doing anything. She's watching the game.
Right. And it's not like media critics. This is what people are putting on social media. I'm so tired of Taylor Swift. Well, you know, come on, relax.
Well, then cover her then. Yeah, don't mention her. It's you. But this is going to be a big game. Two great teams, the 49ers and the Chiefs. And we've got you out there. Wow.
Yes, sir. Covering it. Yeah.
And he bet his mortgage on his house and everything out on the tables, and he's doing very well. No, he didn't. You always hear these stories about guys betting their kids' college education on the tables. Hey, Mike, I want you to have a good time. I want you to have a safe trip back and take care of yourself out there, okay? Don't make any big wagers, all right?
I won't. I heard that there's one major guy, and he says, I'm making a small wager. $500,000 on the game. Because there's some of these billionaire bettors that are involved. So, thank you, Don. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Clemens watching the Super Bowl for us here at WRJN Radio. Hometown Radio Refreshed. I'm Don Rosen. I will catch you once again Monday morning, 6 a.m. bright and early. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. Have a great weekend.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News talk and sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic.